is that baby we were born to scrum. Man, that's what I saw yesterday. I know about run. But, by the way, it must be contagious. Because I'm looking at all these joint practices as I say good morning to everybody here on a clear football Friday with a little splash of Marlins back in action against the Nationals, first at 3 tonight. So, you know, you watch it, and you know both coaches want to teach toughness and stuff. And we got guys running around, punching each other, shoving, tackling each other over and over again. Dave Hyde's with us all day, Dan Day. Jamie's in the house as well. And then I see it yesterday. It's everywhere. I see New England's coach, Vrabel's in the middle of it, going at it with some player, and they're trying to break it up.
You can see the evolution of this. You know, a few years ago, the joint practice was a great thing. They did two of them, right? Two of them. And then they realized we can't do it the second day because tempers got too bad. And now, in the first day, you can see in a few years there won't be joint practice anymore.
Well,
there's too many fights.
So I see the Dallas Cowboys and the Saints, they got fined $500,000 each. The league said, we're not going to tolerate it. I know it's not a game, it's not on TV, but we're not going to have fighting. We're just not going to have it. And I'm expecting Saturday it'll be gone. We don't ever see anything like that in a game. Very seldom.
Well, the problem is, for instance, quarterbacks can't get hit in joint practices, obviously. Players can't get taken to the ground. You're not supposed to hit them from the side. If a head-on tackle, you know, a collision, again, you're not taking anybody to the ground. And all of a sudden, somebody takes someone to the ground or hits them from the side, and that leads to, you know, fights. And then the question becomes, like, evidently there was an agreement if anybody throws a punch, they're out of practice. Punch was thrown, players on the Giants wasn't thrown out, and then
they sat for a couple of plays, and then the coach changes his mind and he puts him back in because he wants him to get work. And it's just, hey, listen, those guys came out talking a lot of trash, especially those pass rushers, the three first round pass rushers. And that was the side of our field. We saw it, and they kicked our butts.
I was going to say, they weren't just talking trash.
No, they were backing it up.
That was not a good practice for the Dolphins.
And when they weren't getting sacks, I saw a lot of holds. I saw a lot of guys getting mugged going around the outside that would have been holding penalties. So, yeah. Now listen, on the other field, looked like, you know, Dolphins defense was having a lot more success, but including watching a interception. By the way, I don't know if I've ever seen that, where I see an interception on our field and I look over the
same
top.
Same thing, right, yeah.
And Rodriguez is making this bobbling, makes this catch, this nice catch in the middle of the field, who looked like he had a real nice practice yesterday, and everybody said he's playing real well, and Dotson's out. Dotson goes off the field. They must be down. I don't know how many of those guys got banged up yesterday are going to play tomorrow. I'm guessing not too many. We could be down 12. The Dolphins could be down 12 or 13 players.
Yeah, you could see they were holding guys. Same with the Giants. Mauigoa.
Maui Noah went right out.
He had a stinger, they said afterwards. So, and a couple other Giants went out. Meanwhile, fantasy football people, Giants picked up Najee Harris, and he had a big practice.
Yeah, he looked strong. He did. So anyway, we'll get into all that stuff as we get rolling here on a Friday. We're on that side of the field yesterday and a big crowd up there, and you and I got there actually timed it perfect because we got through the stretching and all the special team, a lot of the stuff we really don't care to see. I mean, it's needed, but I'll pass on having to watch it. But we got in, I got there just as it started to really pick up.
The 11 on 11s were going,
and you could hear the yapping. There was a lot of yapping going on. Especially Abdul Carter is a yapper from Penn State. They got the three first round picks as pass rushers. Brian Burns, by the way, you know, I forgot, and I saw it, how good he is.
Yeah,
American Heritage Plantation. You know, again, it's so funny every time you turn around, you're saying American Heritage Plantation or St. Thomas Aquinas. American Heritage Plantation had 6.5 sacks last year, in the league.
It looked like he had 6.5 yesterday. I mean, he was afterwards, I went over and listened to him because I was curious what he'd say. And he was asked about the day, and he goes, "We were dominant." You know,
they were.
They were.
I mean there's no way. I mean, you see it, And you know, and the problem is you can't see a lot of stuff on the other field. And I didn't bring binoculars yesterday. I usually had them. I left them in the car. And I was sprinting to get here. And the parking was a little, took a little bit to get there yesterday. But, man, right in front of us was the right tackles. And they, the two of them, not only did Austin Jackson get a little timeout for a few plays. I thought he was done for practice. And they let him back in because he had thrown a punch. And then on top of that, Caden Wallace comes in and he got lit up like a Christmas tree too, standing still. They went around him. So, yeah, it was, you know, that's right in front of us. And, you know, everybody's got the same reaction. You're seeing it because, hey, that breaks down. The quarterback thing breaks down and he's running for his life. He's got no chance. All you could, basically all you can do. Now, you can do stuff in a, you game plan it. You can do some stuff to chip a little bit and help the tackle. But, you know, you all you can do in those practices, you can't hit them, so they can still drop the, throw the ball down there or get rid of it quickly. But, and again, you know, saying all that, Dave, you still need to, you need that work. Like, you went against one of the two or three best pass rushers. Brian Burns been really good for a long time. He just took it to a different level after getting traded to the Giants. But you're facing one of the three or four best pass rushers, and they need to see that.
Well, that's a great front seven. The Giants have a great front seven, their defense. So, you know, it's the old line, you win or you learn, and you better hope the Dolphins, well, they had to learn something yesterday. Okay,
this is not going against guys that we have that we don't know how good they are.
Right.
You stepped up in competition. I'm not trying to be mean, but they need to see it. Austin needs to see it. I think everybody's gotten comfortable having a good camp going against our guys. And then you're going, holy crap, I just stepped up, man.
The hard part is watching it was you want to see Malik Willis, and you want, you know, he's there to get familiar with his receivers against a real opposing defense, and he never got to that point.
No.
I don't think he threw downfield until the final 2 minute series were going on because he just didn't have time, and then they started rolling him out to try to, I assume, or he started rolling out to buy some time, but
and at times his guys weren't open.
Yes.
All the things that are tied together, and again, they got some good guys in the secondary. Hey, the Giants have had a lot of high draft picks. They have, and they traded to get Brian Burns. And the other two guys that they have that are pass rushers, that honestly, they're young guys, so I don't want to say they've been bust, but they didn't put up big numbers young. And so besides Carter, you've got Kayvon Thibodeau over there as well. And we're talking about high draft picks, and they're obviously very talented guys. So we'll see. I just thought it was good our guys got to see it. That I went, you know what? I hate seeing us get our ass kicked. I hate it. But I was like, you know something? We talked about there's going to be some growing pain, so you got to let it go. Now, that was a wake-up call for Austin Jackson. I mean, just because he was the closest one to us, and then he had a chance to sit back there, and he had a lot more problems than just throwing a punch. Because you got to block like guys like that. That's not good enough. I mean, it was every play. It was every play, and it felt like it was the same move.
Yeah, I've been looking at the analytics ratings of the offensive lines. They're coming out, predictions for the season, you know, all these Warren Sharps and all the people who actually break down everything. And the Dolphins are always 28th, 29th, and I'm thinking, no, they're going to be better than that. And yesterday
they looked like that.
They looked like that. That and that's scary because that's they put a lot of resources into the offense, certainly the left side of the offensive line. And
yeah.
And they
you got two first round picks on that offensive line and you got two second round picks on that offensive line. Am I right on that? Yeah.
Yeah, and you have an all pro center. I mean you have talent there, so you know.
Hey, And the offensive line coaches, you know, they're probably feeling a little pressure right now too. Like, hey, we got to move our feet. You know, you got to strike. You can't. But hey, man. Again, 6.5 sacks on the outside, and he is real. And by the way, if you're looking for a guy tall, lanky, long arms, Brian Burns is that 5-star guy out of American Heritage Plantation. I call him one of the originals. By the way, it's crazy. The pass rushers, we call them the Broward County pass rushers, man. Brian Burns, Nick Benito.
Nick Bosa.
Well, Nick was like, Nick had 14 sacks last year for the Denver Broncos. He was up there.
I didn't know
he
was from Broward.
Yeah, so he's up there as one of the, by the way, guy that Jason Taylor coached in high school. So you got Nick with 14 sacks, and he jumped out. They're going, hey, he's one of the favorites, along with his teammate Patrick Surtain, who'd won the Defensive Player of the Year. But you look at Dallas Turner. He had 8 sacks. He's a American Heritage / St. Thomas guy. He jumped over to get coached by Jason. And Nick Bosa and Joey Bosa. We become, hate the stereotype, because we used to be receivers a little bit, but we've had some damn good pass rushers come through there, and Nick's hoping to get healthy so he can look like his old self. He's been banged up, and I don't know if Joey Bosa's coming back to play, or is he going to wait in a year. Something tells me Joey's still got a little bit of an itch to play. I don't know. I thought he'd be out there with his brother. His brother saying, nah, my brother didn't want to play, so I don't know. Anyway, besides all that, I thought Dart threw the ball. I was curious to watch him throw. He looks good throwing the ball.
He did. You know, I was looking at the Giants.
I didn't know what he – you know, TV and watching it in person, so different on a couple things. But trying to figure out a guy's strength in his arm is – I think you need to see it. You need to get out there and see a guy. And Darts, he got a good arm.
He's 17. According to the New York writers who charted this, 17 of 21 yesterday with a touchdown and an interception. And they were throwing downfield. I mean, and I wasn't watching him every play, like, because where we were sitting, Dolphins offense and Giants defense was in front of
us. It was hard to get past that.
Yes.
It was hard to get your eyeballs. Maybe you guys in print media do a better job of being able, because I was sitting there watching and like, are you going to make an adjustment? Are you going to do something? And they're wearing them out. You're right. They're wearing them out. And then, you know.
But you're right in a game. And Malik Willis talked about we weren't game planning. They would have not let, after a while, Austin Jackson go one-on-one against it when he's getting whipped, you know. I mean, there would have been the tight end coming over to chip him or running back. They would have done something in a game.
Yes.
So, but
where he couldn't get beat to the outside, they had a guy on the outside of him chipping to make sure he slowed down and had to reset his pass rush. But
there were some good things. Achane had like would have been a 70-yard run for a touchdown right up the right side too. And then on the defense, I was watching. You know, I'm curious to Trey Moore. He made a couple plays over there, I saw, and now I see. You know, you can see why. Okay, he's moved himself into a starting linebacker position.
I didn't see that coming, by the way. I see him, and the depth charts all have him. And by the way, they've been put out by the coach. I didn't see that one coming because I was trying to figure out how are they going to use him. And Halfley definitely had a plan when he got him. That was the guy had to be high on his list, as in. He's going to start. The things he can do in my defense, he's basically going to be a starter. So that has happened. It's just we are young. Man, the fans were coming up yesterday. Joe, what do you think? Joe, what do you think? And Joe, that's it. And, you know, they see that, by the way, they're on the same side of the field we are. So you got that Austin Jackson. I hate to pick on one guy because I actually like him. But, man, that was a rough side. And then you throw the punch. You know the coach just got through going through, I'm not going to tolerate it. I'll kick guys out of the practice. And then I think because they weren't kicking any of their guys out, and they changed that. And next thing you know, from field to field, and guys are running around shoving each other. And then I see it's going on everywhere. I don't know if anybody had it clean. All these practices.
Ooh, they just can't keep doing this.
Everybody says, well, we got a lot out of it. How do you get a lot out of it? What ends up being, if one guy gets his ass kicked or a guy, hey, and I understand it. You do these and you're trying to impress your coach. I'm not down on the players on this, but some guys are going to take you to the ground. And you think he's going to hit you, and he doesn't let up, and he pile drives you to the ground. And then you're stop blocking. He keeps shoving you in the face and pushes you back. So now you feel like he's trying to embarrass you, and you know everything's on film. and then the ego gets kicked in.
Well, how about on the Giants side? Jameis Winston was in the middle of the fight. And I was like, what? It's a weird thing for a quarterback, first of all, for obvious reasons, not to be in a fight. But second of all, they're not allowed to be hit. And so now they're starting swings and everything at other players. You know, so it's a weird dynamic of the whole thing. But he shouldn't have been in the middle of that.
So the other part of this, it's really weird. And I watch him this whole thing. And I listen to Aaron Brewer about this whole thing. Because, honestly, it's been a long time since I've seen that much. With whoever the coach has been, to see that much stuff that's going on. And the one on the defensive field, they were running around in a group, shoving. It looked like it stopped.
It kept going on.
And it just kept going. And I don't know who was grabbing who and who was throwing punches, but you'd hear the fans go, ooh, ooh. So Aaron Brewer, center, says, I know we're not supposed to fight, but at the same time, you see guys jumping your teammate, you got to step in. And it's true.
That's a tough line.
Because you look back and you don't. Then somebody will put the tape on and go, hey, Jerky, what were you doing in the back? Now, quarterbacks aside. But the rest of those guys? So I was like, Aaron Brewer's right, man. And one of my guys, especially at my position, it was...
I remember when Joe Philbin got here, and he was right about the... He wasn't right about a lot of things, but he was right about this, that he said, you know what? I had to show the team a tape of they're getting knocked to the ground and the other guys were standing, the opponents are standing over them, and we don't have guys coming over and helping them up, and pushing the opponent out of the way. So that's a tough one.
That's a tough one for, because those guys are going to say, hey, Haskell, what the hell are you guys doing? I told you I don't want to see this stuff. And I'm going, okay, well, I didn't start it, but I'm sitting there watching whatever my guy did, and maybe he started it, but that didn't give three guys the right to get around him and throwing punches and trying to rip his helmet off. So, and I'm sure, by the way, I'm sure the Giants thinking the same thing. I don't know. I didn't hear Harbaugh's comments yesterday. I know they want to be more physical and aggressive, and they came out yesterday and especially yapping pass rushers. And they were like, hey, we're getting after you, man.
Well, the first punch was thrown before we got there, evidently, in a one-on-one by a Giant. And it's sort of what happens now. And, do they want to kick him out of the whole practice? No. And so they stayed. And then okay, he stayed. And then so what happens now? It sort of escalated.
I saw Patrick Paul. He gets punched, but he walks away from it. I go, okay, And then I see another guy from the Giants walk in his face, get jumped from the other side, get in his face. So, I think I saw some comments, some player. I don't know how much you get out of them. I get it's at a different level you don't get in your own practice. It really is. So I watch us practice against each other, and they're really going at it. And then you watch that, and that was game tempo.
Completely different, right.
Except there's no way if that was game under the lights – you would allow all that to happen. First of all, the commissioner would be kicking guys out and finding their ass right and left.
Well, and second, the coaches would be really upset because you're getting kicked out of games. You're costing
penalties,
us games.
Right, 15-yard penalties, and you're getting kicked out. So it would have been a different situation. Dave, we got to go to break here, man. I'm sorry about that. We got a little long-winded, but, it's Friday, and we got to get it all out today, man. We got to get it all out. Oh, man, we are rolling here this morning. Good morning. Happy Friday to everybody out there as we kick off 7 o'clock hour. Leonard Marshall, one of the great players to play with the Giants. Just a great career. The Giants are down here for next couple days, so today and tomorrow, after a little joint practice yesterday. So Leonard will join us coming up at 8 o'clock this morning. And I'll tell you what, he's third in sacks, Leonard Marshall. Behind only he's behind maybe the greatest defensive player of all time,
Lawrence Taylor. Assume, yeah,
you know who the other guy is? It might be on TV. It's got a gap that bigger than the one I had. You remember who that might be? Michael Strahan had another great career, right? Strahan's was fantastic, but it's interesting because he might have played. We can always debate it, and young people have somebody else. I think guy he played with, there are a bunch of guys on that defense who were really good, but LT, different level.
Yeah, I think he's accepted as probably the, I don't know who would be the in the running with him. Who would you put up against him as another?
So there's so many different parts to defense, right? Like Deion, does Deion move?
That's a good point, right? Yeah,
Deion changed.
He would shut half the field down.
That's right, and you didn't throw at him. He was so good there for a while. It didn't matter who you had playing at receiver or who your quarterback was. You just stayed away from him. He was that good. Now I'm just throwing that out. The knock on him, you know, he wouldn't tackle at all and all that stuff. But and then his return. Listen, if he wanted to be outside of Hester, who was unbelievable. What he did, I always feel like Deion, when you talk about great return guys, you got to put Deion in there.
Absolutely. I remember him here returning one.
Yeah. No, he was
after
fantastic.
A baseball game, I think, the night before.
Is that when he did the double with Nike?
So.
He was on that Nike deal. Yeah, they were putting him on a plane, and he was going up for the playoffs with the Atlanta Braves, came down here and played for the Falcons. What a strange one that was.
Speaking of defense, great defense, you know, a stat was thrown at me yesterday. I didn't know. The NFL teams are averaging 210 yards passing now. The passing is coming way down because of it's weird.
Strange.
You would think it'd be going because quarterbacks aren't hit, receivers aren't hit over the middle, but something's going on that defense, all these gimmick defenses, the shells that the Vic Fangios are using and
so right off the bat when you said that, because I was surprised, I didn't even know. I had to look it up.
Is that right? Because I didn't believe it.
I'll tell you one thing. Offensive lines, there's a shortage of offensive linemen.
Defensive lines are much better than offensive lines.
I have
right now
noticed that everybody's backup offensive line is in bad shape. Hey, listen, we're thin everywhere here. I mean, to be honest. I saw somebody wrote today, I'm not sure who it was, but it's true that I might have been Perk. Talk about how many players we have that you feel comfortable with and how many more you have to develop and then how many you just don't have. You're going to have to go out and find somewhere else. This team has like three parts to it right now. I mean, it's just reality. The development will change it as time goes on through the year. But you're going to be, you got rid of so much. There's no way all those young guys are going, don't worry, they're all going to be great. They're not. And so you're going to be forced in a week and a half to go out and start looking at the waiver wire from every team and every practice squad, because the way it works, if you're not familiar with it, if another team puts whoever they put on their practice squad, you can jump in. As long as you put them on active roster, you can grab them. So, and I just feel like we're going to be doing that.
Remember in 2019 when the last time had a comparable idea of the roster of just starting all over, they brought in guys off the street and started them in the first game because they were so thin at positions. And
I felt like Zach Seeler came in day one.
It was actually, no, he came in December of the
but whenever
you're right.
We signed him, and I go, man, he'll play a little bit. And I go, holy smokes. I don't know. He had six or seven plays his first game.
And he talked about that he played well that game. That gave him something he didn't have up to that point. That's confidence.
Yes.
And he built on that, and look at the career he's made. But, when we're talking as we have – starting 8, 9, maybe even 10 rookies. I mean, that, how many guys do you, that's, you know, you're approaching half the lineup, starting lineup then.
Right.
And so how many guys can you really trust that are ready?
And you need to be almost at 100%. And we still have two preseason games, and guys are going to get banged up. But we need to get most of those guys back, those 10 or 12 guys. A bunch of them are really key guys to have a chance, to look at this thing at its best. I said something to you at the end of the show yesterday, and look, it, in fairness to Malik, whatever, you can Malik me to death, and if you don't like Malik, I do like him a lot. But if Malik doesn't get some help around him, from two parts, protection, and the second part is receivers got to get open. You got to have something to throw to. You just can't. Tight coverages, and you need guys to run routes and give you some separation and have some guys that you can, for him to have success.
I don't think either of those parts were working yesterday in the scrimmage. I mean, it was hard to get to the receivers even because the rush was so strong at him.
I don't know, like defensively, it looked fine on the other field. I don't know what everybody's saying, but to be honest, I didn't see a lot of it. I saw the interception.
Rodriguez
made a beautiful play. And I saw that. I saw a couple sacks over there. Our guys were, you know, and again, it was real chippy on the other field. They were chippy. But what was going on right in front of us was the worst part. And it was just, and it, by the way, it wasn't even both sides. It was just the right side. And I'm not trying to pick on either one of the tackles that were playing, but it was just, and I could hear the yapping, and it was, they just got after us. Brian Burns was just, it started with him, but it wasn't just him. It was the other two first-round picks they have that, you know, and they're Abdul Carter and probably going to be a Kayvon Thibodeau, who they got a few years ago too, all first-round picks, in some cases high first-round picks. Burns they traded for. And
you know who else you saw was it Arvell Reese? He's the fifth pick overall.
Yeah.
He made a lot of plays.
The Ohio State guys are alive and well. Yeah. How many guys did they have going to the top of that draft last year? My God. Safety.
When I was watching that NFL draft, I was thinking, how did the Hurricanes?
Yeah.
Now, Miami had their own first-round picks. I get that. But
they ran it down their throat on that last drive.
They physically took that defense
on. Which is really weird. You're right, because that didn't happen a lot that way. Anyway, so we're talking before, and I know it's coming next week, and I'm prepared. You and I were laughing. Atlanta's here next week. There's no practices with them, which I understand. By the way, before I get to Tua, I'm starting to – just not a big fan of these practices. I guess everybody's going to say you get a lot out of them. What do you think of the joint practices?
Well, again, I think 2-3 years ago these are much better than the preseason games because they're controlled. You can't hit the quarterback. That's what coaches and teams loved about it. But it's gotten out of control now. There's fights all over the place.
Harbaugh, by the way, didn't exactly have control of his guys either.
No. No, and it's a hard thing because if you're a defensive guy, you're told, okay, you can't hit the quarterback. Everybody understands that. But then you're not supposed to hit from the side. It's supposed to be a head-on. So it's almost a head-on collision, and the guy takes offense. And
it's not anybody's fault, but here's the problem. It's not a regular practice, but it's not a regular game. It's somewhere in between. And so when you're out there and the guy keeps going, whether it's hands under your chin or you're down, he's got you, and now he's trying to drive you into the ground and embarrass you. Every time somebody's going to retaliate. Every time that situation, somebody's going to get up. And now your buddies are going, well, I'm not. Now two guys jumped him, so I'm going to come over. And next thing you got 40 guys around. 40 guys circling around, running from side. One thing stops. Now another one picks up.
Yeah, it's like when Austin Jackson threw a punch, it started with Jalen Wright getting put to the ground, which isn't supposed to happen. I mean, running backs aren't supposed to be taken to the ground. And so that led to pushing and shoving, and all of a sudden it breaks out. So, you know, I think we're looking at either the end of joint practices because it's going on all around the league.
I think they're all going to take the high road and say no, because I heard comments yesterday from all over the league going, because they all have fights. I mean, they're going to find the crap. You think this group might get fined too? The Giants and Dolphins might get a little fine for that.
I don't know how they wouldn't if they're starting to throw out. Now, remember, was it 2 years ago Philadelphia was in here, and they were supposed to practice 2 days. And after the first day, it came out, the public announcement was, oh, a lot of guys have flus. We don't want that to spread.
They did have.
I was told at the time, Philadelphia was not happy with how much hitting was going on, and they didn't want anyone to get hurt.
No.
And so they, so it could have been a combination of
the two.
There
are a bunch of sick dudes, including guys supposed to come on my show that morning, was sick as could
okay.
be.
Now, I'm not saying there weren't sick people, but I think there was something else also at work then. So maybe it's run its course here, the joint practices.
You know, yesterday Kevin Coleman made a nice catch coming across middle, and he got tagged.
He got hit hard, yes.
So. But those, he got up, he's a pro about it. He didn't get up mad at anybody, went up and caught the ball, and listen, good play for him coming back as one of those drafted guys. But that's the stuff that doesn't happen in a regular practice. You try to make a play on the ball, but I mean, literally, Giants guy comes up to make a big hit like you would in a game to try to knock the ball free. And so this stuff's not going to go away. When you're doing it, well, what are we doing here? Are we practicing or are we tackling? But you can't have it both ways. You can coach them. You can't have it both ways. And then the other part is, Aaron Brewer said it, like, coach, somebody's over there, and now a second big guy's over there, got my guy around the neck. I'm going to go over there. I'm not going to leave my guy. These aren't going to go away. They're not going to go away.
There are a lot more fun to watch, though, than our normal practice.
Oh, yeah.
Aren't.
No,
you see what happened in New England, the Philadelphia, where A.J. Brown, Jalen Hurt evidently threw a million interceptions, and A.J. Brown caught a few touchdowns. And so, you know, you do get some interesting storylines out
of this. I get it. Guys are motivated. I saw it. Listen, those giant guys came on that field, those three pass rushers, they were jacked up. Couldn't wait to get going on those drills, and we're letting everybody know what was coming.
And that was good for the Dolphins. Look, it wasn't, if you're the Dolphins in line,
it was good for them.
But it's good to go through it to say, maybe we had to build up a little false sense of security over how we played against Washington. And
you know what? Hey, Austin, Patrick, guards, this guy, Brian Burns, second in the league, one of the best pass rushers, getting paid like it. Got traded, got a new contract, 16.5 sacks, second in the NFL. You got him for about 40 minutes today. Let's see how it goes. That's where you need to get to. You got to be able to block him. You're not going to block him every time. Guys, one-on-one?
Once in a while would have been nice, though.
Yeah, once in a while would have been nice. Would have been on to something there, David. Anyway, yeah, but next week. Oh, my God. Yeah. Be an interesting one yesterday. Next week. Think Tua will say something stupid while he's here, though? Give us a little something out there? Just to, like, a reminder of, like...
Just good old days. Bring back
the
memories.
I got to be honest. You know, this job's not that important to me. I got my family. Matter of fact, I'm going...
He better have a decent game in preseason game number two.
Dave, they don't have any other choices. Dave, there's nobody else.
But all of a sudden, every... game he'll be playing for his career. I think he's done. I think what we saw at the end of last year and now what he's putting together in training, I don't think there's, you know, he knows there's nothing left there.
He's lucky the other guy's not healthy enough to, it would be his job.
Maybe that's what
Penick's
he wants.
Job is, he'd be starter. They would have named him starter by now. But he's not. They don't know when he's going to get I don't know when they're going to let me go full speed here.
Yeah, I don't know. Appendix, he's still not practicing, right? And so they might be rushing them back here a little. Hey, you sure you're not ready?
Thank you. They won't do that, David. Hey, we got to go to break here, man. We are running super late. That's because of Dave Hyde this morning, not me. And NFL analyst for A to Z Sports joins us this morning. Kyle, how you doing, man? I saw you breaking everything down over the last couple of days. How you doing these days?
Man, it's good to have football back and be off and running. So yeah. It's hard to complain, you know what I mean?
No, you're right. Hey, I love your take on everything with the team, especially that first group the other day, the starting five. For me, it started with that starting five on the offensive line. I know they had a bunch of their starters out, but you know what? You got to play against who's ever playing there, and they did such a good job. Who impressed you the most on that offensive line? How the kids doing, by the way? Everybody's good over there?
Yeah, everybody's good. We're just doing the drop-off now. But, speaking of kids, hey, I think these nose guards back. Have a good day, okay, buddy? Love you.
There you go. I love that. We don't get to see that side of you, Kyle. That's beautiful. I love that,
yeah,
man.
I usually have it timed out a little differently. So, Jonas Savainai and Caden Proctor, I think we're both guys that put some good stuff on tape on the offensive line. And Jonah in particular, the confidence in which he's moving. And that's been the word. You know, I asked Bobby Slowick about that down at camp when we heard from Bobby. Confidence was the first word out of his mouth. And I think you see it with, you know, the first set they come up, they're backed up inside their own 5-yard line, and he's going against a top 50 pick in Johnny Newton from a couple years back at defensive tackle. And he quick sets him, he short sets him, he gets his hands on fast, he's got good balance. And that kind of stuff was just not super consistent last year when you watched him play. So that was like right off the jump, the first rep against a guy that got drafted pretty high, that was the kind of rep that jumps out at you when I watched him go back across his 24 snaps that he ended up playing on Friday night.
Proctor, on the other side, I just thought the guard play was just really good. What'd you think of Proctor?
The thing that stood out to Proctor for me was just the easy, the gas in which he can apply to moving people, right? That displacement ability where the angle's always what you would expect when you're kind of operating in a live setting for the very first time in an actual game. No, it wasn't perfect from that regard. But, man, when he gets hands on guys, he moves people. And that's kind of the opposite of what the pass scheme had called for, where we're going to get to the angles, and as long as you have the angle, you're good. Well, Proctor has a physical skill that I think allows him to, even if the angles aren't great, he's still creating these impactful and effective moves at the point of attack for defenders to help create creases. And as we saw, his team ran downhill, right? Like they all of Devon Achane's carries were between the tackles. They had one off-tackle run,
right,
but it was still off-tackle. It wasn't outside.
That's right.
So I think that was the big talking point for me coming out of watching the film was, hey, they bulked up on the offensive line. We had some questions about what the run game looks like, so we still have to see as we get a bigger sample size. But they came right downhill throughout all of those runs and had success doing so because they got displacement up front.
Let's talk about 6, 7, and 8. Kind of the theme of this team actually is key reserves right now and starters in some cases, and guys going to rotate in. But Caden Wallace, what was your take on a guy we just traded for from the Patriots?
Yeah, he played well in the reps that he had. While you still kind of saw, I think, a lot of the newness of what he has to learn to execute, I think when you watched him at Penn State and then you also watched him in New England, the way that he was getting off the ball versus, you know, it's the point of emphasis in this offensive coaching scheme is you got to run off the ball, right? You have to have that urgency off the ball. And it kind of creates a learning curve for a lot of guys when they get into it. And we saw that with Jonah, obviously, last year. And Caden Wallace at the joint practice of Washington said, you know, I got my first snaps at tackle in about 18 months on Wednesday. And then he goes out there and he plays in the game. And he's been on the team for 3.5 days. And he's playing tackle. So while, yes, he, from maybe a level of competition and who he's blocking standpoint, it's guys that are at the bottom of the roster. But for a guy who was a top 100 pick, despite the fact that you have this newness in the scheme and new points of emphasis, he physically looked like a different caliber of player than what he was playing against. And I think that's the best you could have hoped for with Caden Wallace and the reps that he got. And he's a huge piece of the puzzle now because the Dolphins put Jamari Sawyer on IR yesterday.
That's right. Yeah, we got that bad news. Anybody else getting better on the O-line? Charlie Heck is, you know, another guy that's got a lot of experience in the league. How is he playing? Anybody else kind of pop out at you that you would trust at a 6, 7, or 8 spot as key backups to the starting five?
Yeah, I think the best storyline out of this group right now for me is probably Josh Preeb, who was here last year. He went to Northwestern and then Michigan, and I thought he did some nice things on tape where I thought DJ Campbell, for as good of a flash of camp that he's had, I thought he looked a little bit more like a rookie first getting his first run of action. So I think Josh Preeb was the one of the rest of the group that I really thought he showed he had a little something, and I'm eager to see if he could stack on that and build.
By the way, let's get to some really, really good stuff. And besides the confidence of these guys, and we got a lot more to do, but my gosh, how about the potential news of getting another weapon on the outside coming back? I don't want to rush it. I don't want to play a doctor this morning again, but I can't help myself. How about Chris Bell coming back and maybe week three at home against Kansas City, maybe week five at the latest at home against Cincinnati, playing on natural grass. What are your thoughts on and just having our two rookie receivers playing together out there? God, that's going to be fun to watch.
So here's kind of where I'm at with if they were going to – if they felt this was going to be like a month into the season, they have now effectively burned a potential IR to return spot for a player that was already on a reserve list.
Right.
So if I'm reading in between the tea leaves from that standpoint, I kind of feel like, okay, like you've obviously been cleared. You're in a red non-contact because you're not on the same timeline as everybody else. But I kind of have the expectation like he's working to playing shape now. And obviously if he's on the active roster, he's been medically cleared. So I think this all just kind of depends on how he comes along to go from I'm in rehab mode to
right.
being in between rehab mode and playing shape mode to now it's all about getting back into football shape. So we've got about a month till the season starts.
That's like, true.
Even if he's on a snap count early, like that's kind of not knowing anything and just making like trying to read between the lines. Maybe there's a snap count for him early, but that would kind of be my most likely outcome for him at this stage the start of the season.
Yeah, I think that bye week coming up is going to be big where they're really going to amp it up and see what he's got, during that time. And then, like you said, the following week you start getting ready for Las Vegas. Hey, so anyway, while we're at all that stuff, I love defensively some of the things we got to see from Trey Moore and Kyle Lewis moving around, now playing a little safety apparently in practice yesterday. I thought his coverage was really good in those one-on-one drills against the Commanders. And, boy, I can see why they want to get him out there. Trey Moore, they must love. They played him damn near the whole game. I think he played almost 50 plays. And Chris Johnson inside and outside, they really, really work into their three draft picks defensively into a lot of different looks.
Yeah, and a lot of versatility with all three of those guys, right? So it's kind of you got to play them in different spots and figure out where the limits are. Like what's the perimeter of the yard that you're working with for how big of a responsibility you can give each one of these guys. So Trey, for the pass rush ability that he has going back to UTSA, he rushed the passer one time in 48 snaps against Washington. So a lot of off the ball,
right?
Stack linebacker. That's kind of where he's less experienced as a player, but obviously with what Jeff Hafley has talked about with being multiple front and being able to go with odd and even spacing with how many guys you have on the line of scrimmage and having the ability to have somebody out there that can be interchangeable with walking off the ball or walking up on the edge, that's there for the taking, right? And obviously he was listed as the first-string Sam linebacker on the first unofficial depth chart. Now, you take that with a grain of salt because it's an unofficial depth chart if you want, but at the same time, like, it's not nothing. And then you watch him go out, and the purpose that they have in getting him all those reps certainly feels like to me that they're trying to get him to a place where they know what he's comfortable with and what he's not so that they can use him to build out some of their base defense package stuff. It's really interesting.
All right, so Zach Sealer, I'm guessing, is not going to be playing any football till the start of the season. I just feel that way with things, and they know what he can do. I don't think they're worried about him. He plays injured during the season, the whole deal. He's a tough, old-school guy. So now we get to see a lot of Phillips, Grant, and hopefully Biggers will be back and playing. So I'm just curious, how did those two guys look, and how did Biggers look to you before you took off and went back home?
Yeah, it's a really interesting group where I think there's potential for all of those guys to play in different spots, and I think with Zach being down for the rest of the potentially the rest of the summer. Jeff Hafley described that as a week-to-week type of thing. So if your prediction comes through and he doesn't play the rest of preseason, like those are big reps for Zeke to kind of be the guy that I think can kick out there and play some of that kind of stuff. And he certainly looks physically different. He's got a little bit more twitch. I think you could tell that he dropped the weight that he did. He looks leaner, and I think that was a change for the better for him to kind of unlock some of his explosiveness. And instead of just being like a straight-line, powerful guy, hopefully he can have not like Chop Robinson, Josh Uche cornering ability, but maybe just a little bit more flexibility to be able to turn some tighter corners, especially if he's getting a rush condensed into like a B-gap where you're either as a three tech in a rush front or as a four eye in some of your odd front stuff. So I think there's a lot of potential with the boosted first step for Zeke to claim himself a large size of the rotation. And then for those other two guys, I think Jordan Phillips is as advertised as a stalwart at the point of attack. I think he's going to be very, very good at the role that he has to play, but that's predominantly on early downs and in base defense. And I thought Kenneth Grant, we only saw him, 10 snaps against Washington in the preseason game, and he had a couple nice reps against the run in the joint practice, and I thought he looked like he was also, like Zeke Biggers, moving a little bit better as a guy that I think you could see there's a visible change in his body composition this offseason as well.
All right, I got to get to the backup quarterback situation. I think we all feel the same way about Malik. I think everybody's coming around on Malik Willis. Some have taken a little longer than others, but everybody's going, damn, now we've seen a little bit. Potentially, he could be pretty darn good. So let's talk about Quinn Ewers. Can he be the backup quarterback? Are you now concerned? He has not had a great camp. I think you were out there and saw a lot of the practice. What's been your take on Quinn Ewers? Maybe you feel he's played better than that.
Well, I think what you saw in the preseason game has largely been what the vast majority of training camp has been like for Quinn. So now he's dealing with a groin injury, so it sounds like he's not going to be up this week, and they brought back Mark Gronowski, and apparently Dave Fronis reported that there was a second undisclosed injury that he'd been dealing with, and that's kind of the other thing about Quinn is, you know, Quinn missed games every single year at Texas with being banged up with his shoulder, right, and then he had the oblique injury, so... I don't know that it helps me feel any better knowing that, oh, well, he was working through something. Well, that's kind of been on his resume at Texas. So if I were the Dolphins, I would probably be aspiring to keep three quarterbacks on the 53-man roster. But I do feel like Cam Miller and Quinn Ewers are probably generally cut from the same cloth. So I would be looking for another young quarterback that slips through the cracks when you get the cutdowns, that has some... Maybe you feel like there's some physical ability to work with. I think there is a gap between the physical upside of those two guys versus Malik that creates a potential gap where if you have to go to your backup quarterback, you maybe take some stuff off the table for what you're able to right, run your offense with. So I think maybe like somebody with some toolsiness could help you in that regard. But by and large, if it's not Malik Willis, like nobody's coming through the door that I think is going to elevate the offense as a whole. And I think that's where hopefully we don't have to see the backup quarterback at all this season. But if we do, especially for an extended period of time, I think the conversation for next spring becomes a little bit less comfortable as far as the forecast long-term at quarterback in Miami.
Yeah. Hey, I feel like we have two wide receivers have kind of pulled away from everybody else. And the two guys that started, Caleb Douglas and Malik Washington, do you feel that way with this group? Even the way they were used in the preseason game told me, I saw a lot of veterans playing late into the third and the fourth quarter. What is your take on who you trust at the wide receiver position to be one of the five or six guys you keep?
I think you mentioned the two names that, for me, absolutely, by the end of the 2 weeks that I was down in Miami for camp, I felt they had created a significant amount of separation between themselves and the rest of the group. Now, what gets interesting is because Chris Bell, not being potentially a reserve at this stage, that changes the math and the numbers for everybody else, right? So now that competition for... If they're going to keep, we joked in the stands at practice about keeping every tight end on the roster, and I don't think they will, but if they keep more than average number of tight ends, is that one less wide receiver that you're keeping? Or maybe now you're only keeping five. A.J. Henning has had a nice camp, and I think he would probably be my first one off if I had to do a list, and if you told me they were keeping five receivers, Henning would probably be my first one off. And I think that's a testament to the work that he's done.
Yeah, he had a good camp.
Conversations. Yes. So, but the Chris Bell being worked up and potentially being on the 53 for the start of the season is bad news for J- Tutu Atwell and Jalen Tolbert and Terrence Marshall and Jalen Reagor, like that whole group, you might get one out of that group of four names that I just mentioned.
Yeah. The tight end position is going to be interesting. It really is. Dulcich, obviously. Kaczmarek is definitely looking good and blocking. And just talk about his blocking a little bit, by the way. Really gets after it.
Yeah, it's that same conversation that we had about Caden Proctor and the easy gas that he has to put his foot on the pedal and, like, move guys. You see that with Kaczmarek as far as when he rolls through contact into somebody.
Yeah.
He's walling guys. We had one rep against Washington where Kaczmarek was blocking Joshua Josephs, who was a mid-round rookie this year out of Tennessee. And Caden Proctor, I think, got Shai Tuttle, who's been a rotational player in the NFL for quite a while. And they were both on the left side of the formation. And by the time the play was over, both of those guys had watched those guys so far down the opposite side of the line of scrimmage. Joe, they were out of the frame. The back end angle shot of the play, they blocked them both out of the frame from the play side. So you watch refs like that, and it's hard not to let your imagination run a little wild. Maybe not like immediately, but long term, as these guys develop and get more reps and get more consistent and more experience, like you start projecting what this can look like. And I think you can very easily see the vision here.
All right, last question. I'm running late because I'm not going to bug you anymore this week. Chop Robinson, clearly the best pass rusher. I think we agree on that. Who's the second guy that we trust out there? I saw a lot of guys getting blocked. Is there a second guy that looks a little bit better than, or a third guy? Is there a second and third guy for you? Where do you stand on the other side?
I still have Uche as the number two. I think he's had some nice moments in camp. He's had some good battles with both Austin Jackson and Patrick Paul in practice, and those guys have starting experience, and you kind of know what they are as NFL players. And if you can get some wins against those guys, I kind of feel like you can be a strong piece of the puzzle. You know, maybe not like a game changer or a field tilter or a marquee player, but you know, I feel pretty comfortable with Uche as a guy that's the number two pass rusher on the team. The number three, I think, is the really interesting battle with David Ajabo and Robert Beal. They both got just about even number of snaps in the game against Washington. I thought Ajabo looked much more consistent than what Robert Beal did, but Beal was listed ahead on the unofficial depth chart, which is unofficial, so take it for what it's worth again, right? But like, I think that spot is the one that's interesting to me, because when you pair it with the young guys and some of the inside-outside flexibility, you might not get a ton of spots. So you could be seeing a position battle there. Cleveland Ferrell's down right now and has been for about a week and a half. So they signed him right before camp. He's probably a pretty safe bet to make the 53. So now that's Beal and Ajabo battling for potentially one spot. So I think that's a really interesting battle, but I like the Ajabo and what he did against Washington.
Kyle, thank you, man. Good stuff. Let me see. You dropped off the kids, and you did this all. You're amazing. You're still at the school. What, you're right outside the class right now.
No,
man. I appreciate it.
I'm down the street at the gas station. Okay. Put some gas in the truck, and off I go.
Kyle, thank you. I appreciate it, bud. Thanks for coming on.
Of course. Good chat with you, man.
All right. Kyle Krabs, the host of Locked On Fins podcast. And NFL analyst, Ray to Z Sports. Oh, man, summer's here, and Dr. Barry's team. Perk, first of all, good morning, bud. How you doing?
All right, Joe, I'm fired up, man. I can't wait to see this second joint practice, see if the Dolphins bring some physicality.
Yeah. Well, before we get to all that stuff, I don't know if you heard what happened the other day, but Omar, out of nowhere, ambushes me about how I upset you years ago with the comment. I don't remember if it was at the game or it was at the practice. He brought that. He hit me with that Catholic guilt stuff. Perk, I don't even remember exactly what I said, to be honest. And I don't know if I was drinking at that time. Did it happen at the game or at a restaurant before or after a game?
This was at the Pittsburgh Marriott when a bunch of us writers were gathered downstairs eating and drinking, and you came in. You and Cephalo and a few of y'all had been out, and you start talking to me about, I was there with my ex, and you start talking to me about, when are you going to marry her? When are you going to marry her, Perk? And you got the whole restaurant involved in this. What, Perk, shouldn't you marry her? Shouldn't you do the right thing, Perk? Shouldn't you marry her?
Hey, Perk. That was, well, Perk, how did she take it? Like, I thought everybody was cool. Did it not go over well? Just
no,
honestly.
She was cool, but I think the rest of the restaurant was like, who is this dude? Why is he pressuring this man? Like, what?
Yeah.
Why doesn't he just chill out? Yeah, so.
Well, she she's gone now, right? That. Yeah, she's gone now, right? Yeah. And she's married and moved on, right?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, everything's everything, yeah.
All right.
That was the Joe Rogan show went to Pittsburgh that day.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that. Boy. I've done that crap show so many times, Perk. I'm sorry about that, man.
The whole bar and restaurant was involved in this.
I definitely was drinking then. I was definitely drinking too much. All right. Hey, do we have a second QB right now? Are you a little concerned? I know everybody talked about Cam Miller's practice yesterday. And what the hell happened with Quinn Ewers?
Man, I don't know what happened with Ewers, Joe. He had a good offseason and a good mini camp, and then he seemed to regress since then. His balls don't have the same zip on them. He doesn't have the same accuracy. He doesn't seem to have the same confidence. You can see the play in the game, his game performance, you can kind of see the play in which he injured his groin. He was scrambling to the left sideline. So that explains the game performance and the dip there. But the training camp, Joe, I don't know. I am concerned. Cam Miller hasn't shown me much. Mark Gronowski hasn't shown me much, who they just brought back. So, look, the previous regime could never develop a solid backup quarterback. I hope this regime can. Well, hopefully they don't need the backup quarterback, but you want to have a good number two quarterback, reliable guy.
Yeah, hey, Perk, we got kind of a cool story, something that potentially has never happened here before. I started the show with this morning. We could have at some point, and it could happen in September even, October for sure, where we have Douglas Bell and Kevin Coleman all lining up at the wide receiver positions. And I know Malik Washington's in the rotation too. We could see three rookies playing at the same time in passing situations.
Yeah, that'd be incredible, wouldn't it? I mean, that would be absolutely incredible. Chris Bell getting activated on Monday. I mean, that's the gem of the group, I think. I think Chris Bell, you know, I've told you, I give the Chris Chambers comparison to him right now. I think he's going to be a grown man the second he steps foot on the field. I like what I've seen from Caleb Douglas, but Caleb needs to get some consistency to his game. He's just a rookie, so it's not that big a deal, Joe. But that pass, in the Washington game, I can't remember, Saturday, whatever day it was, where he was out of bounds, that's inexcusable. That's not a rookie mistake. That's just an awareness mistake. But again, Caleb is a rookie. He's going to do stuff like that. So I don't have any big worries about Caleb Douglas. Yes, he's been up and down, but he'll be all right. And then Kevin Coleman Jr. in the slot, that dude shows us something, Joe, with his speed. He's behind Malik as a slot receiver now, but you're right. All three rookies could be out there on the field by mid-season. So we'll see what happens with this draft also. You know, they put Kyle Lewis, the linebacker, at safety. So there could be some real good some good showings early in the season from this draft class.
Well, they plan on playing a lot of them, and then we'll see how they develop. But it does look like that. Hey, speaking of Bell, you want to play doctor a little bit? What you're thinking after they've?
Yeah, of course.
What do you think? Give me a date. I have a date. I have a date, and I have no word. I know people are going to think somebody gave me this. I'm thinking first home game against Kansas City, but I'll bet you're thinking earlier.
Ooh, no. I'm actually thinking later. Well, when is the first? I'm thinking probably the start of October. I'm thinking like maybe whatever game that would be. That might be Kansas City, huh?
Kansas City's the third game, and then the next home game would be game five against Cincinnati.
Somewhere around there, yeah. I'm thinking somewhere around there because the season opens September 13th. So yeah, somewhere around there. About 6 weeks is what I'm thinking, Joe. Because look, the way that we see the guy out there running and cutting and doing everything, he's pretty close to ready. Like he told us, the next step is taking contact. He's out there in the red, no contact jersey the last two practices. But And then, Joe, you know how these injuries go. Once he has contact, it becomes, well, how is he the next day? How right. does he recover?
Right.
You know, so it's still a process. But, yeah, I can definitely see 6 weeks. The start of October is when Chris Bell returns to the field, and that's going to be big.
What position, now that we've teased, and we have a huge week. I can't say enough about not only the practice tomorrow, but the game on Saturday. But before we get to the Atlanta game, the third and final preseason game and all the final cuts, what position, I know what we thought it was before this thing started, what position are you most concerned with right now?
Edge rusher. You know, I came into camp saying edge rusher, wide receiver, and cornerback were the three positions of concern. Wide receiver, Chris Bell is on the mend, as we just talked about, and you see some promise from Caleb Douglas. Malik is solid. At cornerback, I know Juju Brents is still out, but you do have hope with Chris Johnson and Jason Marshall Jr., who has also regressed a little bit. The backups don't show me anything. At edge rusher, Joe, all I've seen is Shop Robinson, who, by the way, had a dominant day yesterday, just kicked Austin Jackson's butt up and down the field. Patrick Paul handled him in one-on-ones, but Shop is really having a nice camp. Beyond that, Joe, I don't see much. Josh Uche has been okay. Ojabo surfaces every now and then, but there's not much at edge rusher after that. So edge rusher is my number one position of concern right now.
One guy, and listen, the Savia Nya story and Chop is really nice to see. Guys getting their confidence back and really look like they're trending the right way, working off what we've seen. Kenneth Grant.
Yep.
And now he's banged up. It looks like he's probably not going to be playing this week. But how do we feel about Kenneth Grant? I'm not worried about Zach Sealer. I mean, hell, if he has to play hurt, he'll play hurt once this thing starts. But what do you think about Kenneth Grant, our first-round pick a year ago?
KG, I'm a little bit concerned from the standpoint he was the first-round pick and he's not showing first-round potential. You've had some D tackles surface, right? And you know, you mentioned Zach Sealer and he's going to be there. Jordan Phillips has surfaced, the fifth-round pick from 2025. Zeke Biggers has surfaced, the seventh-round pick from 2025. Mitchell Butler, who was on the team last year, he's okay. He's a rotational guy. We're seeing a Keith Cooper Jr. kind of make a small move right now. So you've got DTs. They're not high quality, but you've got DTs. But you need that first-round pick, Joe. You need Kenneth Grant to step up and show something. I'm a run stopper. I'm a pass rusher. There's something that I do very well. And KG just hasn't shown us anything. I've said this about KG, Joe. If he was a third or fourth round pick, you would be happy with
that's
him.
True. Would say, that's true. Yeah, that's a great point. I totally agree.
But Joe, that first rounder, he's got to do better. He's got to do better.
Hey, were you surprised about Mason Rieger or no?
No, he didn't show us anything. You know, and I was on the All Dolphins podcast with Alan Poupart yesterday, and he was talking about how this heralded undrafted rookie free agent class really hasn't turned out into a whole lot. And that happens. You know, that they're undrafted for a reason, and that's fine. That's you know, I prefer that to the draft class, you know, being disappointed. So, but Rieger, he had an opportunity. I just talked about the edge rushing group. Cam Good has an opportunity. Rieger had an opportunity, but you know, Jeff Hafley was saying yesterday he wants to see some consistency out of those edge rushers,
sure.
and Rieger just didn't flash enough times.
Is Cam Good going to be okay? Great on special teams, we know that, and I know other guys can play special teams. He's not like the only one, but he's proven. You see him on the 53?
If he is, it's because of special teams, Joe. But I just. You know, he had a sack the other day in the Washington game for an 11-yard loss, which was a very nice play, but I'm not sure it's registering, Joe. I'm not sure. He's 14 on the depth chart. 14.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, he's still a core special teams guy, but he's a fourth-year player. You got to start – well, you can make a living, a good living as a special teams guy, but this is a team that needs somebody to make an impact from scrimmage and in your fourth year – you're about to get typecast as a special teams guy as opposed to a guy who can play both. So we'll see what happens. I mean, look, Ashton Davis was a special teams guy, right? Zane Anderson, your starting safety right now, is a special teams guy. He's trying to make that transition to scrimmage, and I think Cam Good is is kind of in that territory right now.
All right, I'm going to ask you about another guy, Willie Gay. I think we all like Willie. Willie jumps up and down. He's emotional. You love it about him. We got a lot of good young linebackers. We got the Rodriguez-Dotson deal going on. Where does Willie Gay fit in?
Man, Willie's got to fight for his position on the 53, Joe. Six-year guy, and he doesn't take many snaps with the starters from scrimmage. He's usually in with the second and third teamers, and he's out there. You see him making plays, but, you know, him and T-Dot, Terrell Dotson, are fighting for different battles. T-Dot is trying to hold off Jacob Rodriguez for that starting spot, and Willie Gay is trying to hold off, like, Trey Moore and Kyle Lewis and all these other youngsters for a spot on the 53. That's two guys that I'm going to be watching in the joint practice on Thursday, and if they play in the game Saturday, what they do. Jeff Hapley told us he doesn't want these guys to play, you know, a so-called two games in 3 days. So if you get like 30 snaps in the joint practice, you might not get very many, if any, in the scrimmage. So I want to see how Half breaks that down. But T-Dot and Willie Gay, they need to have a good week to hold on to what they're fighting for. T-Dot starting job, Willie Gay spot on the 53.
Well, I tell you what, that's gonna be an interesting one to watch for sure. Hey, biggest surprise for you so far in this camp? A pleasant surprise, big one for you. Who would it be?
Ooh, man, that's a good one. I think, you know, probably those rookie linebackers, I would say, would be my first thought off the top of my head. Rodriguez, Trey Moore, and Kyle Lewis, the way that they're coming through. Rodriguez, second-round pick, and the two linebackers, fourth-rounders. I'll tell you another one undercover, Joe, is Will Kaczmarek, third-round safety, who's been knocking heads. I mean, really knocking heads. Chop Robinson has emerged also. And let me say this, Joe. I say all of this under the background of this is still, I think, a 5-win team. But you can have a lot of success stories on a 5-win team. This is a rebuild. This is a team that's expected to contend for a wild card spot. So there are a lot of positives, but let's keep them in perspective. So when I say, you know, the rookie linebackers, I'm not expecting one of them to be a Pro Bowler at the end of the season. I'm talking about winning a starting job and being a reliable rookie. And so there's good things. Chop Robinson, actually, though, he might be my biggest pleasant surprise.
Yeah, Chop's been great.
You hope that doesn't mean that Austin Jackson is struggling, which you know, that could be the case. But Chop has been really good against the pass and the run.
I'll tell you, it will it'll be interesting because I think after those final cuts, they're going to be looking, man. They're going to be looking at everybody else's teams to – 3-4 guy. You wouldn't be surprised if we saw 3 or 4 new faces from the outside world come into this team, would you?
Oh, heck no. I think we're going to see more than that, Joe. You know what I've been saying? I think that this roster numbers 1 through 25 are decent, but numbers 26 through 53, I'm not sure how many of those guys are going to be in the league 2 years from now. So that to me is really the big drop-off, and that's you know, I'm not saying that their starters are, you know, could win 15 games, but the starters are, I think they're pretty much, the first 25, I think, are pretty much NFL caliber players.
Right.
The rest of that, right? And you're going to have injuries, Joe, and that's when it's going to creep in. But you know, so far, so good. I think it's been a good camp so far overall. The physicality, the draftees, Malik Willis, who we haven't even talked about, surprisingly, he's having a good camp. So I think they're seeing what they need to see. And I think the deficiencies, cornerback, wide receiver, edge rusher, are expected. I don't think there's been a situation where you thought, hey, we thought we had a great backup quarterback and it turns out that we don't. I don't think there's been any of that in this camp so far.
Perk, I got to tell you, Malik Willis was going to be the last thing I asked you about. He has been, as I told him, I hadn't seen him play in person. So physically, the things he can do, I haven't seen anything like that around here for a while. Now we got to see if it all plays out. But I got to tell you, man, he's been a real pleasant surprise from everybody. I don't know if you were one and one that open competition during minicamp and thought they should be able to compete against each other.
No.
But, boy, I'll tell you what, he has really stepped it up as a leader, everything. And what a class act, man. Spent time with him in Washington. And, boy, he's looking the part, rolling out. And, boy, he's teased us with a couple little runs that you just feel like, oh, boy. What a nice little added addition that's going to be when he takes off. It's going to be kind of fun to watch.
Man, Joe, he's checked all the boxes so far, hasn't he? And look, I what we saw in Washington, let's not get it twisted. Yeah. The Dolphins' starting offense proved it's better than Washington's second-team offense. Washington didn't play any starters.
Nope, they had 26 guys that didn't suit up. You're right. 26 yep. did not but, suit up. Yep.
But, Joe, you know, I'll say what a lot of other people are seeing. What I was looking for from Malik in that offense, I saw a crisp, clean operation, right? No negative plays, no penalties. You saw decisiveness on the pass. You saw physicality on the runs. Achan did good things. Malik did good things. The offensive line did good things. And, Joe, I would rather see the Dolphins do better against the Washington backups than saying, ooh, there's some questions at offensive line. You want them to dominate the way they did.
Great
again,
point.
A positive sign.
That is a great point for everybody who goes, well, they're playing against back. Hey, man. Hey, it's great. Rather do that than, like you said, if they would have struggled going, oh, my God, and their best guys aren't even around. Hey, Perk, thank you so much, man. I'm glad we're good. I was worried about you had a five-year hangover of Joe Rose, so I feel a lot better, Perk. Thank you, brother.
I still got that Joe Rose hangover, but for different reasons,
Joe. Thanks, Perk. I'll talk to you. Appreciate it. Right. Chris Perkins, Sun Sentinel, Dolphins, calmness. What do you got for me, man?
All right, Joe.
I'm good. I've been freed.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad you
had a confession, brother.
That's beautiful, Joe. This is also beautiful.